This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How I Met Your Father, Season 2, Episodes 2 and 3 are over, but we are just getting started here on Post Show Recaps. I just have a confession to make right off the bat here. I'm a liar. I'm an absolute filthy liar. I know it's bad, but luckily we have someone here who never lies ever. It is Sarah Ferguson.
Oh, man, Adam, I just got through the crazy experience. I just gave birth to... Well, no, I assisted the birth of 20 puppies.
That's a
puppies.
Huge difference just right
yeah,
off.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. No. I mean, I'm almost like a mother because I gave birth to 100 puppies.
100 puppies?
Yeah, 101. Wow. Dalmatians. 101?
They're all Dalmatians?
Wow, oh my shocking. Gosh.
Oh my goodness.
Who would have thought? Yeah. So maybe I also do a little fib here or there.
Oh no.
It's just a little white lie, right?
Is it so bad? Are you like a white lie person? I mean this in the best of ways because yeah. I like genuinely do not judge people who like will, you know, embellish things or whatever. Because I've definitely done it. But like, are you that kind of person?
I think that like my biggest shame is when I go and get Taco Bell and I don't want my fiance to know that I had Taco Bell for lunch. So he's like, what'd you have for lunch? I'm like, oh, I definitely had a salad. Mm-hmm. And in reality, I got a Chalupa Supreme.
is that your go-to from Taco Bell?
Yeah, I really like the Chalupa Supreme with beef. and I hate that I indulge in that also. BTW, the Cinnabon Delights are really delightful. They really put it in the name.
Okay.
How delightful it is.
I have two follow-up questions.
Yeah.
Number one, I feel like Drew would not judge you if you were just to be like, hey, I had Taco Bell for lunch. Like, I don't think that this is like a, you know, an area of potential judgment. Yeah.
Everybody has shame regarding Taco Bell.
Just Taco Bell specifically?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think so.
I feel like there just shouldn't be that much shame around Taco Bell. That being said, the Cinnamon Delights, my biggest problem with them, Sarah, is that they sell them in packs of like two or like 500.
Okay, so it's literally, hello, would you like two Cinnabon Delights? And you're like, hell no, that's not enough. Or 12.
Yeah.
It's like, how did we get from point A to point B?
I would like four or five, maybe. Somewhere around there.
So, and then the biggest issue is like, oh, can I have two orders of the Cinnabon Delights so you get four? Every single time they just give you two Cinnabon Delights because they just mishear that you
they
want
think you
two.
Can I have two Cinnabon Delights? Yeah,
it's a losing game.
And you can't be like, can I have three orders of Cinnabon Delights because six is like too many. Then you like really start to feel bad about yourself.
Right, but then like that's the time when you are like, oh, can I have like 6 Cinnabon Delights, but also can I have like 2 drinks so that they think that...
Yes, you order the extra drinks.
So they think that like this is going to the end user. Now, this is why, like, I don't know, so much shame around food. It's not great. I think that, like Sophie, I need to let it go.
Yeah. Everyone just, you know, eat whatever you want to eat, okay? Like, people should not be, you know, judging any of that there. That being said, if you want to order 2 drinks just for yourself, because it's the only place that has Baja Blast, I, like, cannot be upset about that.
Because, all the bevs, yeah.
That's, like, what you have to do. Anyway.
You're just thinking about Cinnabon Delights now.
Adam, I am, yeah, I am.
Like he was like a poet that was like trying to create his sonnet, but it was just a sonnet about Cinnabon Delights.
Yes.
Anyway.
I might have to write a sonnet about Cinnabon Delights by the end of this podcast.
You're very talented.
I think we could make it happen. Oh, yeah. Wow, I literally might have to go get a couple Cinnabon Delights after this. I was Taco Bell so close to me.
Good. I hate that they're so good.
They're so good.
Anyway, we have 2 episodes to come today, so we should probably get going. The first of which is season 2, episode 2, Midwife Crisis.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this episode is kind of blah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, right off the bat here, I think there are some fun, kind of interesting things that they do here, but overall, I feel like this is the worst of the 3 episodes that we have seen so far this season.
Yeah.
And honestly, maybe worse than some of the stuff we saw in season 1. So it was like, you know, kind of disappointing. Retroactively, I'm glad that we didn't just have to talk about this one specific episode. It was fine, right? I mean, it was fine. It wasn't a bad episode of TV. It was fine. You know, we have 20 episodes this season. Not every single one of them is going to be spectacular.
Lulls. Yeah, you need some lulls in a season. So we open up to older Sophie admitting to her son that she used to be a dirty, dirty liar, and she claims that she quit lying when she turned 40. But nonetheless, back in the day, she had a huge lying problem, especially when she was feeling insecure. And she's feeling insecure recently because she's waiting to hear back from the gallery about her painting.
Yeah, I mean, she's nervous. She put a lot into that painting, the whole gallery situation.
Oh, it's not even a painting; it's a photograph.
Yeah, the photo of a young Jesse
trying to fix the car.
Trying to being you know, just some guys being dudes. Just, you know, fixing the car there, doing as best he can. She's very nervous about it, and we did see this, you know, a continuation from the end of season 1 and from that first episode. She's very on edge about it. And rightfully so. I think, like, this to me is one of the more kind of real elements of the show that, like, doesn't feel more like a sitcom. This is a big part of her career. She's, like, nervous about the trajectory of her career because this is actually a big moment for her. So at least in that respect, I liked how kind of true to form this was.
Yeah, I think that she's really expecting big money from the sale of the photo. So, and also it's going to put her on the map for being a artist that sells her work, and also hopefully maybe get into more publications so that she can get into more galleries. But let's cut to modern day, where Sophie and Valentina are walking down the city blocks, and Sophie is really nervous, checking her email. We see a flashback of her in yoga, answering the phone. Like, she's very on edge and attached to her phone. The kids would say she is chronically online.
Yes, very
have you
much.
Heard that this expression?
I have. Oh yeah, I have, because I too am chronically online.
You're chronically online. It's a huge, epidemic in the world right now. They are passing the bar and they see Meredith at the bar with like all their friends. And of course, Sophie is really worried about that because she doesn't want to meet Meredith she's not perfect. She wants to have her perfect hair and her perfect makeup and want to look amazing. Have you ever met a ex's new girlfriend or partner?
Yes. One of my exes is married, and so I have met them. And I've there was one other one that I met too. It wasn't like this formal of an, or like, this isn't even formal, but it wasn't like this I almost want to use the word casual, but it wasn't like this occasion where it was like, okay, I'm going in, I'm going to meet them. It was just kind of like a happenstance kind of, you know, situation.
Just like this.
We both happened to be going to the same place. And so it was kind of one of those weird, you know,
Was it weird?
It was a little weird. I feel like stuff is always, I don't think so. We didn't like really talk. It was just kind of like the awkward high. And then like, you know, hey, we used to date. Let's not think about any of the things that we did because now you're currently doing them with someone else. So like, you know, let's not talk or think about that. Let's just get away.
Seems a little awkward. Have you ever done that?
No,
because all of my ex-boyfriends are like internet boyfriends pretty much. Oh. So it's never really, no.
Yeah, but imagine what if you joined a chat room with one of them in these days? Would you make up a lie?
Yeah, totally. I mean, half the people like I lied to at my old internet ex-boyfriends anyway. So maybe I am a liar anyway. Charlie apparently has a job at the bar. I did not see an official hiring process, but nonetheless. And Ellen is also chronically online because she's waiting for Rachel, her neighbor, to text her back. And we see Sid kind of being rude to Meredith by handing her over a beer with too much head or foam. I don't know. I'm not a beer drinker, so I don't really know the terminology, but I think it's head. And Meredith is like, ew, you put too much foam in my beer. Like, and Sid doesn't really care because he's giving her some attitude. And then they all see Sophie staring in the window, which I thought was hilarious.
I did love that shot, right, of them inside the bar, just kind of like looking out and waving, like, what in the world are you doing out there? Poor Sophie.
Yeah, I know. I think that the move is just to keep on going. If you're not in the correct headspace to meet a ex's new girlfriend or boyfriend, then you need to just ditch.
Yeah.
Just like, don't make a fool of yourself.
But I don't even really understand why she was going to the bar in the first place.
This is the hangout. This is where you go.
Oh, just like the place to be.
Yeah, it's just the place to be. And she decides that it's okay. She's going to go meet Meredith. And the first thing that she says is that she just got a call and sold her photo for a huge, large amount of money. And she starts her little fib and she's just trying to impress Meredith. Now, if I was to meet Blair Waldorf, AKA Meredith, AKA Lane Meester, I too would lie because Blair would be like so intimidating to me, but not Meredith, not so much.
Yeah, see, this is like one of my gripes of this episode. Doesn't really track for me why she's lying so much or needs Meredith to care about her. That being said, we did open up the podcast by saying we sometimes order two drinks and a thing to make a random person we never met before. So like, okay, maybe that like makes a little bit of sense.
I do think I understand because Meredith is successful and she's cool and she's pretty. And when you feel okay, like you're though, not-
can I just like put that out into the universe?
Stop it. Lane Meester. I think that
she
amazing.
Is the least attractive woman on the show.
Stop it. Don't be mean to Lane Meester. She was born literally in prison.
What?
Her mother gave birth to her in prison. She's a survivor.
What does that have to do with anything? Did she grow up in prison? Oh my god, I'm imagining a baby in like the prison uniform.
Baby Lane Meester was in orange since the day she was born. I don't know. I think that that's an important thing to note.
Why was her mother in prison? Do we have the full details on this?
I've like read about this. I think it was substance addiction or abuse or something like that. I don't totally know, but I do know that she was born in prison.
Okay. We love people overcoming things. Okay. I'll give them that, but
yeah,
I'm not going to like sit here and pretend like she is the most attractive person on the show.
She is. Stop it. Actually, here's a very quick question.
Yeah.
Are you pro Blake Lively or pro Lane Meester? And the real question is, are you team Blair or team Serena?
Yeah. See, I don't even know what we're talking about here.
Okay. Who do you think is prettier?
Let me just do a quick Google and I'm going to go by okay, Blake Lively. Yeah, okay. And then
Leighton Meester.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there is a correct answer to this question, but I don't know how I'm not picking Blake Lively in this situation.
Well, that's the whole thing.
Ryan Reynolds also does a lot of work here, I think.
That's true. Serena always got everything, and Blair just had to work, work,
What are
work.
We talking about? What show are
I'm
we talking
sorry,
about?
I'm just really obsessed with Gossip Girl from like 20 years God. Ago. Yeah, XOXO Gossip Girl. Don't worry, I'm about to go full Elizabeth Holmes, just like Sophie. She says there was a bidding war between the Prince of Liechtenstein, the CEO of Barry's Boot Camp, and the sisters from Sister Sisters, but the sisters from Sister Sisters were bidding separately from each other. Meredith is like, ooh, cool story, bro. And basically, Sophie admits that it's not a small line problem. It's not a medium line problem. It's a huge effing problem. And we kind of watch her spiral and tell worse and worse lies throughout the episode, which is not great.
Not good at all. You know, bringing in your main character and basically saying that they're lying all the time.
Liar. Not relatable.
Not great.
Only if you lie about Taco Bell are you relatable. Not
exactly,
about.
Yeah. We never lie about soda. Anything else. Never.
Nothing else. Nothing else.
Nothing.
No. So we get Ellen's storyline, which is essentially she is still trying to hear back from Rachel, the girl across the hall that she lied to, another lying problem, yeah. And said that her grandma was her best friend. But she wonders if Rachel isn't texting her because she's ugly, or is it her garbage personality? And I love Charlie saying, if your personality is garbage, then call me a raccoon, because I love it.
Yeah, I think Charlie might be my favorite character in the cast.
He's very endearing, right?
Yeah, I love him so much.
Yeah, he gets those really good lines, like just like how they want to make over their apartment so that Rachel can like be more interested in coming over if they leave their door open. And Charlie just like offhandedly says, oh, I shouldn't have turned off that threesome with Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Yeah, just in case they come in.
Just in case. They could have redone the room. He kind of reminds me of Tahani from The Good Place, where he just makes all these, like, not in personality, but you know how, like, Tahani is, like, always name-dropping random people at all times? Have you ever seen The Good Place?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, anyway, she always does things like this, where she drops celebrity names or whatever. And you don't know if it's true or not true, but yeah.
Yeah. I love him. I think he's really funny. I everyone really he interacts funny. With, I feel like it's just such a wholesome interaction. I feel like he's like a good person, and doesn't lie.
Do you think that Ellen should give up her dream of dating Rachel? I guess that's a better question for the next episode, but
yeah, my like only question here is like, why is Rachel even involved?
I don't, like, because
does Rachel have to be the person that Ellen is going after? I find Rachel so unrelatable and uninteresting.
Yeah,
and I'm like struggling, and I think like that is affecting how I'm viewing Ellen too, because she is like so desperate for Rachel specifically, and it's just like, girl, why? Like, what are we doing here? Come on.
I really don't know, because I do think that I'm starting to really enjoy Ellen, especially more so than last season, where I felt like she didn't really have a lot of material to work with. But she is very eager to make stuff work with a character that I don't really care about.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that they had introduced a love interest for her in the first season that was ongoing, like the rest of the characters, so that we could have a vested interest. And I don't know if that's supposed to be Rachel, but the dynamic between Rachel and Ellen started off with a lie, so it never worked for us.
Yeah, I mean, right from the beginning it was based on like nothing and something stupid, like and it really hasn't progressed further than that point, other than like Ellen saying, oh, I really like her that's it. That's like all we've seen. They don't even really have great chemistry. There's like nothing really between them.
No, she doesn't really get along with her friends.
Yeah, if someone had ever said like, hey, I was best friends with your grandmother and now, hey, like I don't know, I'm done. Like I'm not engaging further regardless of the situation.
We get our next storyline, which has to do with Sid being the grilled cheese king.
Yeah.
Which, who doesn't love a grilled cheese?
Yeah. I mean, I've literally had grilled cheese like two or three times over the past couple of weeks.
Everybody keeps saying that. Why is it the time for grilled cheese season?
It's grilled cheese season. Okay. So we are done officially with soup season. Soup season is done. We're
over it.
It has to. Yeah. Soup season has had a really good run. Okay. Chili season lasted for like a couple weeks.
Right.
When it was like really, really cold. That's when you have to eat in the chili. The reason why it's grilled cheese season is because it's still like decently cool. It's like a hot meal that kind of warms you up, but it's also not like a heavy meal that will like, keep you like down or whatever when it kind of gets a little warm during the days. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we're in grilled cheese season and I'm all in for it.
I know that you're a very talented chef, so I just want to know how many cheeses are on your grilled cheese.
My go-to is somewhere around 4. That's like my...
You're joking.
No, I'm dead serious. My go-to is usually 4. I usually go some kind of like sharp cheddar.
Sure.
Some kind of white cheddar. I love white cheddar so much. Some kind of like either Pepper Jack or Colby Jack, something with Jack in it.
A little bit of spice,
but also like not a lot, just, you know, a little bit to kind of elevate it. And then I really like a soft cheese. So like a Gouda or a mozzarella or something along those lines. Stunning. I think that makes the perfect grilled cheese as well as the bread of choice. Sourdough. It has to be sourdough.
There we go. You heard it here first, folks. We have a grilled cheese, our king, ourselves over here. I'm still working on the American cheese. Oh, my grilled cheese.
Sarah.
How am I supposed to know?
What do you could get any other cheese?
I didn't know that we were supposed to add other cheeses, but whatever. Sid does not want to give Meredith the grilled cheese. He made like 6 grilled cheeses.
There's a lot of grilled cheeses.
And he doesn't want to give even one to her. And they do like a little wrestling match. Basically, he hates Meredith. Meredith is trash. We've all experienced this where you have a friend that has a partner that really sucks and you don't know what to do. I've never denied anybody grilled cheese, but I have left them out of my PowerPoint presentation that I showed to my therapist.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. That is evil. If you want to talk about something that's rude. So basically they eventually agree on a airing of the grievances, just like she did when she went to Sweden. Jesse is like all out on this idea, but Sid is all in. So that's what they're going to work on. An airing of the grievances. Good idea, bad idea.
Okay, for me personally, I think this is a terrible idea. Like, truly a terrible idea, okay?
Yes, yes.
Because at this point, we don't really know why Sid doesn't like Meredith, other than the fact that we have literally seen Meredith, like, turn Jesse down. And that went viral. So, like, whatever. Okay, besides all of that, we know there's more to why he doesn't like Meredith. An airing of the grievances, all that does is, like, bring it all back up so everyone can smell how bad it is. Like, that's all it does. There's nothing to accomplish. I'm, like, a firm believer in, like, if you push down hard enough, like, there might still be issues, but everyone will be fine, okay? Like, everything is going to be fine. You might not talk to everyone forever, but just, like, it's fine. Just go forward and deal with it later if it, like, becomes, like, a huge issue. But if you're up to this point and it's just, like, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of this, Sarah, because the other problem. This is probably more related to just me in particular. Yeah. I'm, like, not very good at not sharing how I feel. Like, I will just tell you the way that I see it, and I'm not very good at holding back, and sometimes that...
It's a good thing.
Well, it is a good thing until you get to the point where I'm at where it's just, like, I'm also simultaneously not great at phrasing things in ways that don't make other people feel, like, bad about the things, especially when we're talking about grievances, which are, like, inherently a hot-button issue.
Exactly. It's a negative conversation. Yeah. It's not the opposite of... You know, tell me everything that you love about me.
Yes.
I'm coming into this because I have issues.
Yeah. And you got them too. Yeah.
You know that I do love an airing of
Yeah.
You know I love it. You know that, like, I am very much into calling a house meeting.
Yeah.
And being like, let's just get it out in the air. And everyone's like, Sarah, why do we have to do this right now? I'm like, I'm done with it. We got to get this out of the air. And you're like, no, I have, please, I'm like in the middle of something. Don't do it now. I'm like, it's done. We're calling the house meeting. Wait, what I call a state of the union? We're calling a state of the union. Gosh. It's going to be in like 4 hours. Yeah, I love doing that. It's my favorite thing. I think it's good.
Your
to get
favorite thing?
I just think it's good to get stuff out in the open. I'm so anxious. My little heart just can't handle the conflict that I just want it out in the open.
Wait, your little heart can't handle the conflict, and therefore we bring the conflict to everyone's attention front and center?
I don't like indirect conflict. Okay. I just want it out in the open.
Passive aggressive is not.
I want it to be discussed and get over it. But the thing is that it just doesn't always work that well. So we're going to see how this plays out between Meredith, Jesse, and Sid in a bit. But first, we have Spa Night between Sophie and Val. Sophie admits to telling a few harmless, quote-unquote, fiblets, which I love that word. I, too, want to just call it fiblets, to try to make yourself feel better. And she says, you know, Val, you lie too. You lie about your age. And I thought we were going to go get a flashback of her, like, oh, I'm just like 18 years old, like young and fresh, blah, blah, blah. No. Valentina dresses as an old lady to get the old elderly cost of a movie theater ticket. And we see her buying a ticket to Avatar 2.
This was so dumb.
Why is it dumb? It would never work.
This
would
was
never
so
work.
Dumb, especially for the benefit of seeing Avatar 2. Like, have you seen it yet, Sarah?
I will never see it. Do you think never. That I have 5 hours of my life to waste on blue creatures that,
it's
like,
so long.
Use their tail for unspeakable tasks?
What do you mean unspeakable tasks? They use it to connect with the animals that they ride all over the place. And then, you know, also to have relations with each other. Cross-contamination, in my opinion. Just, you know, I mean, that might be a little bit of an oversight on the creators there.
Yeah.
It was really long. I don't know. This was so dumb. I really wanted to see, like, something a lot more scandalous than this, but
yeah,
we did not
get all it. Right. Well, we get a knock on the door, and it is Ramona, played by Meghan Trainor. You know Meghan Trainor, right?
I really love Meghan Trainor, actually. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, it was exciting seeing her. She's playing a pregnant neighbor who is in early labor, and she hired Sophie to take photographs of her home birth. And of course, Sophie lied about this as well and said that she's done tons of home births and helped the doula or the midwife. And Ramona says that her midwife is stuck in traffic and she needs Sophie to help her set up. So it's a bit of a sneaky situation. And we get a flashback where Sophie said that she's done dozens of these home births. And even though it's not on her website, it's because she signed an NDA. And then we get a Hilaria Baldwin joke. A lot of Hilaria Baldwin jokes. Do you know about Hilaria Baldwin?
I do not.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So this is like, so you didn't even get the joke. Okay. So Alec Baldwin, we all know Alec Baldwin. Problematic himself.
Yeah.
So he's married to a woman. They do have like 90 kids. They have a ton of children. Hilaria Baldwin was born in Boston. Her name is actually Hillary, but she claims that she like has adopted this like Spanish Hispanic accent and changed her name to Hilaria. So, and it's kind of like, you remember how when Madonna all of a sudden had a British accent and we were like, what happened here?
Sure.
It's kind of like that. And the thing is like, everybody is like, Hilaria, like your real name is Hillary. You're from Boston. Like, what is this? Like, and she like sometimes pretends to forget English words. It's very, she's like, oh, like, what's the name for? Like, how do you say blah, blah, blah. It's like, girly, you're from Boston. What are you doing? So that was the joke. Did not land for you. That's
no,
okay.
It did not. Yeah.
That's fine. Who cares? So Sophie and Val are setting up for the water birth. They had to like blow up the tank. Valentina did ask a good question. Like, why is she not allowed to have a pet snake when they're literally allowed to blow up a giant tub for Ramona to give birth?
To be honest, I don't really know that I would want either of those two things in my apartment.
Okay. Maybe it's also not like apples to apples. Like, it's not like a fair comparison, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like the snake doesn't stand up for itself as much as the person who's giving birth does. You know what I mean? Like the advocacy there.
I mean, I stand up for all snakes. I love snakes.
Oh, really? Like a pet snake?
You know this.
Yeah.
You know how much I love snakes.
I know.
Especially Tofu, the white snake. He's adorable.
Who's Tofu, the white snake?
It's a snake that I follow on Instagram. His name is Tofu, and he's the cutest snake.
That's the only context? Just like a snake you follow? Not like this celebrity's snake or like whatever. It's just like, here's a snake.
His name is Tofu. He's like, a white snake.
There's some person out there who you have no idea who they are, and they just have a pet snake named Tofu, and you are totally under their thumb.
I love Tofu.
Oh my gosh.
I think he's the cutest snake ever. I have a ton of snake stories. If you listen to Jess and I's podcast, I talk about snakes all the time because I love snakes.
Yeah, too many snakes.
Okay, so oh god, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. So they fill up the tub. It's way too hot. So then they were like, let's just start blowing on it. And it's like, what, like, hello, if there's something that's too hot, then you just put cold water on it or ice. Why is their first thought to blow on it?
This is all really bad. That being said, I don't know that I would be great in this situation. I would just be like, we need to get to a hospital right now. There's no circumstance where I am the one delivering this baby. Like, let's get to a hospital here.
It's such a bad plot line. I can't.
Yeah.
Let's switch over to Sid, Meredith, and Jesse. It's their airing of the grievance society time. Sid has created flashcards and they're color coded. And okay, so his first issue. Okay.
Yeah.
And you'll tell me if this is like bad or something that he shouldn't have a grievance over.
Yes, he seems
like a toddler. And Meredith's defense is, but I have a deviated septum. Do you think that this is something to hate someone over, how they sneeze?
No, this is pretty dumb. I have been told quite a few times that people do not like my sneeze.
No. You have the cutest sneeze.
I literally have been told so many times, Sarah, that it's like, that's not a sneeze. Like, you're a little, it's like, yeah. I don't have like a big sneeze. It's like, I don't like cute. Let it all out. It's like a little.
I'm going to be totally honest. As I am always with our audience, you do have the cutest sneeze for an adult man.
What does that even mean? I don't think sneezes are cute though. Okay. It's like very small. Like it's not like a big sneeze.
Yeah. You kind of sneeze like a toddler.
Is this our own airing of the grievances?
But the thing is I think it's cute. Sid does not. Okay, number two.
Sid does not like it.
Your favorite movie is La La Land, and Meredith's defense is they shut down a freeway and dance on it. I think that this is a legitimate grievance.
Whoa.
La La Land is crap.
It's crap.
I will say that scene where they're dancing on the freeway, the audio was mixed so horribly. It was the background noise is way too loud for the voices, and I don't know why they didn't fix it.
Okay, well, I can't speak to like the production or the audio stuff of it all. I don't know. I can't be mad about to have it be your favorite movie. I feel like is probably a bit much. What's your favorite movie, Sarah?
My favorite movie is Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion.
Okay, mine's Clue. I don't know if people could hate us for either of those two.
That's a great movie.
La La Land is not a good favorite movie. I don't think it's like a great movie, but I don't think it's a very good favorite movie. I feel like if your favorite movie is La La Land, I probably don't like you that much, but I don't like actively hate you, you know?
I'm actively upturning my nose at
okay.
it. Your text sound is wind chimes, comma, you psycho. Now, I always have my phone on mute, so I think it's maybe that's the bigger problem, is that her phone is off mute.
It could be. I like will go back and forth depending on like what I'm doing. Like if I have to like focus in on work or something, or I have like something going on, like I'll definitely keep it on mute most of the time. I have a really bad habit of just leaving my phone all over my apartment and like just forgetting it and then not being able. I'm really bad about that. And so most of the time I'll keep it on sound. However, I do have very specific text sound notifications where there are a single digit number of people that have a specific sound associated with their text. Everyone else just has the normal sound, but I have like a certain number of people that will have this specific text sound. And then that's how I know who's texting me and if I need to actually respond and reply.
In a good way or a bad way?
If I ever hear the regular sound for a text, I will never respond to you.
how like, do I get bumped up?
Well, you don't ever text me, so
that's true.
Yeah, we never text. But like, if I ever hear like the normal text sound, I'm never responding to that. I will say one of the sounds of the more important people is the wind chimes. So I feel like I can't be mad about this one either. This is a not great airing of the grievances for me.
Yeah, the last text that I sent you said please, please, please. So. That was the last and you did not reply back. So that's another and then the grand finale is the burrito incident, and I feel kind of like a typical How I Met Your Mother story, because it's kind of like this thing that has lived in infamy and it's amongst friends. They know what the burrito incident is. The long and the short of it is that it was Jesse's first time where he was teaching kids and they were having a recital. And simultaneously, Sid was really into meal prepping burritos at that time. And Meredith claimed that she was too sick to go to the recital. And Sid had one rule, don't touch my burritos. And then he said, smell you later. And then he returned home to see his burrito has been eaten by Meredith. So he, at first, we just think that he is mad because Meredith ate the burrito. Her defense was, I had 102 fever and I was bummed about missing the recital and I'm sorry. So that's the burrito incident. And Jesse is really upset about all of this because he is a child of divorce. And we kind of get like a little bit of a backstory about how his parents promised to bring him to Six Flags and then they didn't bring him to Six Flags. But then they were like, remember the time we went to Six Flags? And basically, manipulated him to thinking that he went to Six Flags. It was a whole situation.
Yeah, it was a whole big thing. Are you a Six Flags person?
I used to be. Yeah, we have in Jersey, we have Six Flags Great Adventure. And that was definitely the place to go when we were in high school. Pretty sure I had a yearly pass to go to Six Flags. But I'm not really a theme park person now.
Yeah, I definitely relate to that. Growing up, I used to live pretty close to Six Flags Great America. And so I had a bunch in Chicago. I had a bunch of friends who would go all the time. And so I did enjoy it. But yeah, weird feelings about Six Flags. I agree. I don't really like amusement parks now. I don't think they're for me anymore.
No, we've aged out of it, I think, until when we ever have children, then that's probably the next time we'll go to the amusement parks. But So I just been dreading that moment.
Well, hopefully it'll go better than the childbirth that happened in this episode.
Yeah, I hope so. Ellen and Charlie have dressed up themselves in their apartment and they are leaving the door open to hope to catch Rachel. Julian and Maury, who is some elderly neighbors, one of which is the guy from Two Broke Girls. Did you watch that show?
No, I've always heard that like it was funny on a rewatch, but I couldn't. I almost never watch those kind of shows live.
Yeah. I think the first season was great, and then it kind of fell off, but I did watch the majority of it. But it was nice to see that guy who was Julian in the show is still acting. I really liked seeing him. So they lived together since their wives died, or their wives may have disappeared in Africa. I honestly kind of just think that their wives fell in love with each other and ran away from their husbands, but I mean, that's my own theory.
Yeah.
And then next thing that happens is that all the neighbors come in to their apartment and they're having a building party.
And this seems fun, but also seems like a thing I would never do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fun to, if you live in an apartment building that has a lot of young and fresh fun people, it seems like fun. But I don't know, I don't think I would hang out with neighbors. Okay, here we go. Here's some stupid stuff. So annoying. Valentina was told to get ice, and she comes back with shrimp instead to cool off the pool. And they put shrimp in there, and they're surprised to think or to realize that the shrimp is working. It's like, hello, if you put cold stuff in hot stuff, it cools down. Why is that like a surprise? It's so stupid. And then Sophie gets a call, and she thinks that it's the gallery, but then it's not. It's just a telemarketer, and she falls in the pool. And then Ramona comes out and is like, what's happening? And Sophie lies again and says that she's blessing the pool water. And she offers her some shrimp because this is a scampi style birth. Do you have anything to say about this? Because I just kind of want to like not think about it anymore.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say, I kind of liked the scampi style birth line, but literally everything else surrounding this was so dumb. Like that payoff was not worth what happened in the scene, but it was still an okay line.
Also, if the water is so hot that it burns your skin, don't you think it would cook the shrimp?
I am scared to think about giving birth in a pile of cooked shrimp.
And talking
that
about,
is not an ideal about, shrimp boil.
Yeah, that's talking about like cross-contamination.
Yeah,
like,
that, oh my God.
So bad, such a bad idea. And then Sophie admits to lying about everything. And Ramona says she doesn't care because she's about to give birth. And the midwife is stuck on the tram. And basically we have this whole like little montage of everybody screaming and panicking.
The number of times that I've seen in an episode of TV where the midwife is late and not able to actually give birth makes me assume that there's no such thing as a midwife. Like I assume it's never on time once have I ever seen a storyline that's like, oh yeah, we did an at-home birth and it was totally fine. No one had I've never seen that ever before.
Maybe you just need to go more localized with your midwives. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Okay, so Meredith and Sid have their official talk about burrito night because basically Meredith doesn't want Sid to out her in front of Jesse. And Meredith admits to it, but kind of just asks for a Hail Mary. It's like, don't you want your best friend to be happy and move past this? And I think that like Sid is very kind in this moment because he realizes that if it is true that at this time Jesse is happy, then who is he to get in between his best friend and his best friend's girl? How do you feel about this?
I disagree with that logic that Sid is using here of just like, I do want him to be happy because like obviously Sid wants Jesse to be happy, right? Like I'm certainly not going to debate that. That's obviously true. The problem is that like if he has access to information about Meredith that is in this case creating like this false illusion of happiness for Jesse, I actually think that it's like not okay for him to just sit on it and let that kind of stew and simmer. I feel like he has the responsibility as like Jesse's best friend to tell him the situation and what's going on. And especially like considering the whole burrito scene of it all, I'm a little upset/confused why this hasn't happened earlier when they were broken up and Jesse hated Meredith.
Oh, that's so true. But they also, it's so dangerous for you to admit that you don't like your friend's partner when they do break up, because 9 times out of 10 they get back together, and then awkward.
I need to just give a piece of advice for everyone listening.
Yeah.
Don't get back with your ex. This is firm advice. I've had such bad experiences with this. Like, do not get back with your ex. It will not work out, I promise. Okay. Even if it does, it doesn't really work out.
All right. So I was dating somebody and we broke up for a year and then we got back together. Mm-hmm. And it took a while. It took a really long time for us to like get back into the groove of things and like forgive each other for whatever. But it does work out.
Yeah, I'm still going to I'm still sticking with the advice. Like, don't get back with your ex. Just don't do it.
I just think that you need to have clear and honest communication if it is going to work out. I don't think that what the burrito incident actually is so bad that Jesse would want to stop dating Meredith, especially because there's so much time that has passed. But I think that you're right. Usually, if there's a big secret that is being kept and that you know, you should tell your friend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jesse's happy to see that everyone is over all this stuff. And they can go and live their life and hopefully go to Six Flags if they choose to go to Six Flags. We flash back to Ellen and Charlie's party. They're talking to the different party guests, and Ellen realizes that the door is closed. She learns that Rachel closed the door because it was making so much noise. So then she goes out, and thankfully she actually talks to Rachel, which is like, thank goodness. Like, come on, stop playing games. Such a waste of time. The birth happens, and it is amazing, except it's horrible because everybody's like screaming and it's very dramatic and it wasn't very enjoyable to watch. But we see future Sophie has a photo album with like pictures of the baby and Ramona, and apparently the baby is named Riley. Great, sure.
Yikes.
Ellen talks to Rachel and they kind of talk it out, and Rachel thought that she invited everybody but her to the party, and Ellen admits that she only threw the party for her, and they're going to go on a date. And do we feel excited about this?
No, not even a little bit, actually.
No. Yeah, I mean, I think that, once again, I do think that like the third episode is coloring my perception of this. Because I don't think that Rachel was played very well in the third episode, but I'm kind of like whatever about it. We are back at the bar. Sid pours Meredith the beer correctly this time. And then we find out what happened really at Burrito Lit Night. Basically, Meredith lied on the phone, didn't want to go to the recital, and she was mean about it. She says, like, I don't want to, like, waste my time hearing screechy noises. And the flashcard that Sid wrote says she doesn't really love him.
Yeah.
But that's, in my opinion, that's an opinion. That's not a fact.
Yes.
So, only Meredith really knows what Meredith is thinking. So, for Sid to be like, this is a fact, she doesn't love you, I don't think that that is, like, that doesn't really have legs to me.
I don't think it's an unreasonable opinion for Sid to have, though, based on, like, what he's seen. Like, I don't think that Sid is, like, out on a limb here in this thought. And I also think that if Sid were to tell Jesse about this, Jesse would be upset. I don't know that they would, like, immediately break up. Like, one of those things where it's like, oh, you hurt me so bad, we're breaking up, like, right this moment. But I think that he would be upset about it.
I just think that it's almost like when you break up with somebody and then you get back together with them, everything before the breakup has to be cleared out. That's the only way it's going to work. So you can't get mad at somebody pre-breakup about something from the pre-breakup, because everything has to be a clean slate, in my opinion. And that's the only way that getting back together with somebody would work out. So I don't think that I think that Jesse might be like, that's a really crummy thing for you to do. But I don't think that's it's earth-shattering news.
The problem is it still emblematic of how Meredith feels? To me, like, that is the biggest miss of this episode, because it's still unclear to me if Meredith feels differently than she did in this flashback. Because I do think, like, there's a world where Meredith's like, yeah, this is how I felt. I'm sorry. I don't feel this way anymore. Like, let's, you know, let's move forward because this is how I feel now. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, that's a, you know what I mean? Like, that's a different story. But the way that she was making it seem to Sid was like, Jesse's happy. Don't ruin this for him. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I guess, like, I'm struggling to figure out how Meredith feels.
I guess that's a good point, because if she really wanted to have an honest relationship with Jesse, maybe she would have given up that information on her own. Maybe she should have said, look, I know what Sid is upset about. Like, I'm going to own it. And I did something really crummy. Not only did I eat his burrito, but also I pretended to be sick.
Yeah.
And maybe that could, it would bother him, but at least we're being honest. I think it's the dishonesty aspect that's not right, that what Meredith is doing. And by continuing the lie, by refusing to release or be open about what really happened that night, she's doubling down and continuing the lie. So I now you have persuaded me, Adam. Look at you.
Oh my
gosh. You're such a persuasive person. I've changed my mind about it.
This might be the first time I've ever changed anyone's mind on a podcast ever. Just like
I'm a very flexible person, to be honest with you. Either my podcasting partner can change my mind, or I like just talk myself out of it, but whichever. Sophie and Valentina are coming in. They're like very happy about delivering a baby, and Sophie, who is on her honesty kick, tells Meredith that she didn't really sell the photo, that she just wanted to be impressive. And she's like, but guess what, Meredith, I don't care anymore, because I did something really cool tonight. I delivered a baby, and that's something that even you haven't done. And then we see a little flash that Meredith did deliver a baby on a subway. But Meredith is very like cool and classy about it, because she's like, that's really cool, Sophie. Or was she being condescending?
I heard condescending.
That's
though.
Really cool, Sophie.
I don't know. I heard condescending. But also, I don't really like Meredith, so maybe that's just me.
Yeah. Then Sophie gets a call. She actually did sell the photo. And then she taunts Meredith by saying, in your face. How do you feel about the comeback, in your face?
Listen, I think we just have to give this one to Sophie, you know?
Sophie's a dweeb.
Yeah.
She's a dweeb. I can't wait to meet 40-year-old Sophie, because maybe she'll be less dweebish. Yeah. And then she says from then on, she's going to be honest and straightforward. But then there was a freaking shrimp in her hair, and Meredith asks about it. And then she's like, oh, Meredith, it's this like extensive European hair treatment. You don't know about it. Clearly, you don't know anything about hair. Yeah. So obviously we know that she is still a dirty, dirty liar. And like I said, we have to wait until she's 40 to see her quit lying.
We got a little ways to go there. Okay, well, we don't have to wait long to in order to hear us lying, or really just to hear an ad, I guess, is really what I'm trying to get you here. We'll be back on the other side to fill you with all the lies and maybe some Cinnabon delights. We'll see.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Okay, we've retrieved our Cinnabon Delights. We've lied to each other profusely. Now, on to the third episode. I thought this was a much better episode. Just like overall, I thought this was a really good episode.
Absolutely.
Of How I Met Your Father.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, because I think that not only did they hit the reset button, but I think like we hit the reset button.
Yes.
And now we're back to an enjoyable episode of this show. And like you said, this is season 2, episode 3, called The Reset Button.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's a good name too. Sometimes we all have to hit that reset button. Like truly, oh, yeah. I think we just need to do it. So we have older Sophie saying that, you know, friend groups when you're young, pretty incestuous.
They are.
Very much so.
They so are.
Absolutely. Probably to a point that's not great. So sometimes you have to hit the reset button. She also reveals there that she has kissed everyone, even Aunt Ellen. A lot of kissing going on there. Sarah, have you kissed everyone in your friend group?
No, I haven't. But
would you like, is it a lack of like opportunity? Like if the situation arose, like would it happen?
I don't think that I just had a desire to kiss my friends like that. I think that when I was, I was 18, I remember, or like younger than 18, I remember we were like, oh, we're just going to like kiss our friends on New Year's. But no, not since then.
Okay.
How about you? Also, as you know, like I've said to you before, Adam, you're like my first guy friend.
Your first guy
pretty friend. Much. I've said this to you before. You're like pretty much my first
yeah,
guy
I,
friend.
Honestly, I thought that you were just like hyping me up, like trying to make me feel
no,
good.
No, I was being very serious. Like I've pretty much only had female friends. Oh my and gosh. You're like one of my very first ever guy friends.
Wow. I am so honored in this moment. Is this a little white lie? Is this a fib?
No, I'm telling you the absolute truth. I used to say that I didn't think that girls and guys could be platonic friends.
Oh my God. I hate that take so much. Like
I know. I'm sorry.
Could it not was, disagree with that more.
I know. But I mean, I'm telling
you. Do you
the
still
truth.
Currently feel that way? Or are we destined to form a cross-podcast love relationship?
I think that I honestly think in most cases, I do think that girls and guys, it's harder to be friends because I do think that one party eventually, at one point in the friendship, develops feelings like 8 or 9 times out of 10. Like, I really do feel that way.
Wow. Okay, Sarah, if you ever develop feelings for me, I just mm-hmm. want to know, okay?
But wait, no, Adam, you remember that dream that I had?
I do, yeah, I do.
So there's a dream where I swear to goodness that Adam was the father of my baby. So we've already been there. We've already been there. But you can blab all over the PSR Discord. Why aren't yeah. you in the PSR Discord to have tons of friends mm-hmm. and, you know, happenings.
Hypothetical dream birthing hypothetical announcements. Dreams.
And you told everybody and I was like, I wasn't ready to tell everybody, Adam.
Yeah, I really, really screwed the pooch on that dream that I was in. Anyway. Sophie is so excited. We saw this at the end of last episode. Her art piece sold, and she's kind of talking right. about it with the person from the gallery, saying that went to some rich person, some super super rich person, and Sophie like starts to get these grand ideas in her head, like, okay, where's my career going? We've all had this moment, like any little win you're like, yeah, I could be president next year, like, you know, everyone has these moments. And we're talking about going to the Met Gala, and Sarah, I need your thoughts on this. She's talking about wearing a bird's nest as a hat. Now, we were just on a podcast recently talking about fashion or whatever. You said you had to go because you were watching the fashion
Grammys yeah. red carpet. Yes.
Yes. So I need your thoughts here. A bird's nest as a hat.
I've seen crazier things on either the runway or the Met Gala runway. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's that wild. I do want to ask, I'm not a huge advocate of real animals being incorporated into costume. So I would prefer it not being a real bird mm-hmm. in it because, I don't know, it's just like, leave the birds alone. They don't want to be part of your outfit.
Yeah.
So that's my only ask. But aside from that, if she wants to have a bird hat, then all for it.
Okay. Good to know. I'll incorporate that into my next Met Gala costume whenever I'm invited. okay. They also want Sophie to bring her model to dinner. That's a big ask here. And, you know, Sophie's like, yeah, he's totally in. We smash cut. Jesse's like, I'm out. And then they basically go through and there wasn't like any big, you know, persuasion type situation here. It was Sophie just being like, please, if I have any points left with you, I'm using them right now. And Sophie's like, you must come to dinner with me for this. I don't really know why Jesse was out in the first place, because like, if someone ever invites me to like a big fancy rich person's house dinner, it's an auto yes. Like, I'm going every time to get the delicious free food.
Yeah, you and me are a little bougie like that. But I think that there's people that don't want free, expensive, well-crafted food on plushy, comfortable seating with high-quality fabrics and handcrafted wood tables. I don't understand why you wouldn't want that.
Agreed.
But oftentimes, I mean, millionaires and billionaires are interesting folk. So maybe that's what Jesse didn't want to do, is hang out with, you know, the rich folk, someone that would live in a penthouse.
Yeah. You know, I have a lot of thoughts on the rich, but we'll get to that in just a moment here. So we go back to Valentina, who is moving out of Charlie's, and Ellen talks about going to see Flubber the Musical. This stood out to me as probably the highlight of the pair of episodes. I love this so much. It was even just like the one line, just when things couldn't get bleaker, I made my best friend in a beaker. Flubber, I love you. I mean, it's just like going out. Oh my God, Sarah, this one little scene, I laughed so hard and I rewound it like 5 times.
I think that you need to be cast in Flubber the Musical.
I would love to be in Flubber the Musical.
I think that this is the role for you. So you would go see Flubber the Musical.
Yeah, in a heartbeat. I also really liked Flubber. So I'm like,
oh, you're high on Flubber.
Yeah, I'm high on Flubber. I'm really high on musicals. I love it all. Give me all of this. Give me the Flubber musical.
Flubber is kind of the same reason why I don't like monkeys. I don't like entities that ruin your life. And Flubber ruins lives, as do monkeys. They're always up to stuff that is no good.
I just want to be clear. You're very pro snakes.
Yeah.
But monkeys.
I don't like monkeys because they're mischief makers, and I don't like it that they are always up to no good.
Are you just talking about the one monkey from Night at the Museum? Or is that like the one?
It's all monkeys. Tell me one monkey that isn't like mischievous.
Okay, I'm gonna
Curious George. He's too curious.
What do you mean too curious?
He's too curious. Always causing issues. Marcel from Friends, that monkey was so mean. I've never heard of or seen a nice monkey ever.
This is going to be a deep pull. This is a Drake and Josh. We have, you know, the Josh Peck. There was an episode where the one guy bought a monkey and was like going to eat the monkey. That monkey was nice, though. It was obviously the dude was really bad, but like that monkey was nice.
No, I don't think monkeys are nice. I think that they're really rude.
Wow. Okay. Sarah's anti-monkey, and we got there by Flubber the Musical, just to reset.
Yeah. So anyway, I would go see Flubber the Musical.
I would too. Yeah. Let's go see it whenever it comes out.
This reminded me a lot of How I Met Your Mother, but I think it mostly reminded me a lot of Jason Segel, because it was like a little bit like Forgetting Sarah Marshall, where Jason Segel's character made a musical about like vampires. Do you remember this?
I have never seen Forgetting Sarah.
Okay, we have to see this. Actually, I'm going to bring that DVD video next time I see you. We have to see it. You will love that movie. I think it will be like your favorite movie.
My favorite movie. It's going to beat Clue. Oh my God.
No, I don't think so. Maybe like a top 20. I think you'll love Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
I don't even know that I've seen 20 movies. Okay. So Valentina is trying to find a date, and we get more dating app stuff going on.
Yeah.
Gosh, I have so much to say on dating apps, but that's a different podcast, I think. And clearly Charlie is a little bit jealous here of Valentina's swiping. Would you? I mean, I feel like their breakup was like decently amicable. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, obviously Valentina's like incredibly attractive, but like, so is Charlie. Like, he can get it, okay? Like, he can definitely get it. And so, you know, he's like acting a little bit on edge. But I did like this scene. I like that, you know, Valentina's like almost immediately like, oh, got a date for tonight. No big deal.
Does not surprise me for her. I think that it would be probably very easy for her to get a date.
How quickly could you get a date on like Tinder if you downloaded it? Yeah.
It'll probably take 4 years.
4 years?
I don't think I would get dates very quickly.
Oh my God, Sarah, you could get one tonight if you wanted to. I'm like,
think so?
Yeah, I think so. I speak, especially like the girl to guy ratio on all of the apps is like atrocious. Mm-hmm. at least on, you know, on my end, I feel like it'd be very easy. Anyway,
I don't know.
We got to Sid and Hannah, who are planning their long distance relationship, working out, flying back and forth all the way across the country, and they're finding it impossible.
Costly.
Yeah, it would be insanely expensive. I could not even imagine this. I'm like pretty anti long distance. We've talked about this a little bit before.
Yeah.
But especially when it's like this long a distance and they're talking about flights back and forth. Sarah, we both have an upcoming trip to Seattle. We'll be together in the same place, which is so exciting. I cannot wait for that. But my God, the flights are so expensive. And like just so painful. I like it's really brutal. I cannot even imagine doing this consistently.
And even flying from, I don't know, say like we wanted to go to LA from Seattle, that is as much as a ticket from New Jersey or St. Louis to Seattle. The flights are very expensive now. I don't have any miles. I'm not a mile girl. I have no points on a credit card. Like I don't accumulate any digital currency at all. So the whole like, do we have points? Do we have points? Like do you have points?
Yeah, I actually used points for this trip. I'm using points for the Seattle trip.
How do you get points? Where do the points come from?
Like a credit card.
Oh, they don't give me those. Okay.
Oh, you just don't have a credit card ever.
I do, but it's like a safety credit card.
Oh, well, I mean, that's like
credit cards for babies, basically.
Okay.
Because that's all I'm responsible for.
I'm a pretty big believer in like building your personal credit. I think it's very important. And so,
Adam, if you want to help be my, I know you're a financially minded guy. If you want to save me, I would be your biggest project.
Putting things like groceries and gas. I even put like rent and electricity on my credit card and then just like pay it off immediately.
Rent on your credit card?
Yeah, I mean, just like, you know, put it, like as long as you can, it's like the same thing, right? I just am getting points for it instead of putting it on a debit card. It's only upside. Unless you like can't pay it, don't spend money you don't have. That's another pretty big rule.
But anyway, stuff is so much fun.
No, it is. It really is. I get it. This is just my advice to people. It's not the advice that
you're
I follow.
So smart.
Charlie tells them, Charlie's coming in. He says he found someone to go out with for tonight and asked if they wanted to be a double. They're kind of like, we got stuff to do. And Charlie was like, I'm not really asking. I'm begging.
I am like, begging. Please let me go out.
Is that an ideal like first date? I feel like a first date, double date with like two people, you know the person and the person you're bringing on for the date doesn't know them. That is terrible.
Beneficial for everybody but the new person.
Yeah. Like I would never want to be that new person coming in and going on a double date with like a person and then a couple that they know. Like that sounds horrifying.
But if you are the person I love a buffer at a dinner. Nothing's better than a buffer.
On a first date, though, I feel like I don't want a buffer on a first date.
I don't know.
I'm also not going to dinner on a first date, so that's, you know.
I mean, that's the biggest thing. We learn here why it's a disaster to do so.
It's just never good. Okay, so we see Sophie and Jesse are at the rich person's house. The guy's name is Warren.
Already a red flag.
Already a huge red flag. And then the wife's name is Megan, which I also have as a huge red flag for me. That Megan is the name of the ex that got married, but it's just for those, you know, a little bit
big
of context.
Big ex.
So, you know, already on edge there. And she is carrying bison carpaccio, raw bison, on this tray. It's the line here, the mouthfeel is so wet and sensual. There was a point where I was like, what show are we watching?
Oof.
Sophie is so insistent upon trying it. Jesse's like, okay, I don't want this at all. And Sophie's like, just eat it. And then they both have it and it looks so disgusting as they're eating this.
It has
to be gross, Sarah, right? Like this has to be gross. Yeah,
it really did look like cut up human muscle. It was disturbing. It was really, really, really gross. I would never eat it. I don't like raw stuff anyway, nor do I really like beef or bison actually. But also if you're getting offered something, it really is like
I would probably try it, right? Like I would probably try it.
Yeah. I guess it sounds so gross though.
Yeah.
the wife offers to make Manhattans, and all of a sudden, I mean, once again, like, red flags up the wazoo, because he starts making these, like, comments that are, like, very off color, particularly about women and their responsibilities and what they are good and not good at. And you find out, or you start getting the feeling right away, that this guy is a freaking creep.
Yeah, the worst. Yeah, like, right off the bat here, I know, like, there's going to be a scene later where we flashback and they have this realization. It is right in this moment where I'm like, I hate this guy. Like, it takes no time at all. This would be, like, a thing that I would flag immediately. I would probably leave if I was at a dinner and, like, this was said. I know it might be, like, maybe if I'm in Jesse's position, it's, like, this is a big thing for Sophie. And so, like, maybe that would make me stay a little bit. But, boy, you would have a really hard time keeping, like, my mouth shut on any of these comments.
The blinders that Sophie puts on this just because of – it's hard because, like, this is a money motivator. Like, this is why she's apparently getting, like, a large sum of money for selling the painting. She's hoping – excuse me, the photo. She's hoping that – you know, if she sells herself, then she can sell more photos for the couple, which means more visibility and more growth and more likelihood that she can get the bird hat. So I understand why she really wants to make this work, but the amount of blinders that she puts on is alarming.
Yeah, it's very alarming. And I think, like, the thing here, the only part of this episode that kind of frustrated me was that Sophie, like, didn't realize it, was that those blinders were so much, because I think there might have been something interesting to her realizing it earlier on and being like, okay, we have to, like, stay because I'm in this for motivation. We're gonna take all these rich idiots' money for, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's maybe something interesting there, but for her to, like, not notice it here, I didn't love that.
Yeah, I would rather give her an edge and have her outsmart these people more so than her being along for the ride and then realizing, like, an hour or so down the road.
That's just the first of the dinners, because at the next one we have Hannah and Sid. They arrive a little bit earlier and they meet Alice, who is the woman that is going on the date with Charlie. It turns out Alice runs an airline rewards program. You need some points. She can do it. She's Wizard of Oz.
Oh, okay. So then I really do need to meet up with this Alice person.
Also, I will say Alice is very, like, awkward and uncomfortable, but I think she's so friggin' funny at the start of this. She's like worried about the bread, right? Like, she's like, do they get free bread here? I'm like, I'm really worried about the bread. And so, you know, she kind of goes off looking for the free bread.
She has to go and
she has to look for the bread. Yeah.
It is very, very important when you go to a place and they don't give you free bread.
Agreed. Or they make you pay for the bread.
Oh my God. When you are at a Mexican restaurant and they make you pay for the chips and the salsa.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I come here for the salsa and for the chips.
Yeah, I don't even come here for the food. I'm just here for the chips and salsa. I don't even love chips
and margaritas.
Yeah. Yes. That's it. Honestly, if I could, like, justify going to a Mexican restaurant, just getting a huge margarita and just eating the free chips and salsa, I would do it. Like, I didn't feel like I had to order a main entree, I wouldn't do it.
You know, I totally agree with you, and I would love to move forward and do that with you, but last time I had margaritas with you, I was definitely crying in Vegas, so maybe not.
We won't be in Vegas this time, so okay. Oh my gosh, that was right after Flamingos. I totally had, like, forgotten about the
whole situation. Okay, so, like, okay, hold on. Can we tell this story?
Because please.
This is where my Vegas trip went downhill.
Yeah. Like, it was really unfortunate. Really
bad. So then we were having a good time. We were walking up the strip. Everything was great. And then we go to Flamingos. And the one thing, Adam, the one thing that I wanted to see in Vegas, right? The one thing I wanted to see the flamingos.
Yeah.
However, there is a huge outbreak of bird flu in the world, and the flamingos were not available at this time.
Yeah, they were worried about exposure, and
we go to flamingos, and there was no birds, birds at all, not even the pelicans. So then we go to Margaritaville, and you said, Sarah, just to let you know, these margaritas are strong. And I said, oh, I can take any margarita in the world. No problem at all, Adam. Three margaritas down. We are moving and grooving to the sports book. I am devastated, devastated about the Birds. I'm upset because I had to sit next to a guy that was smoking a cigar, and apparently that was very upset for me. And then I run, like, you know, like, what's her name? Julia Roberts in Runaway Bride. I vacate the sports book, not to be found for 30 minutes. But you know where I was? I was just outside. I was talking to my friend Jillian.
Oh.
But I was crying.
Okay. Probably about the flamingos or just like...
I mean, it was just so much.
Yeah. So much going on there.
So yeah, I would say like, let's get margaritas. But now I feel like I'm just like, maybe you shouldn't have margaritas, ma'am.
Okay. But maybe we can replace that experience with a positive one. Like, what if we like build a new core memory that's a different margarita type situation?
I'm totally into it. But I really do think that the flamingos put me like really over the edge.
Yeah, that was tough. Especially, we didn't stay in the Flamingo, or at least I didn't. But like the number of people that I don't think this is a very high number, but like one of the biggest draws of staying in the Flamingo is that you are very close to flamingos. That's like
that's
their whole
all
shtick.
I wanted.
Like truly, that's their whole shtick. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no flamingos.
I mean, flamingos are a top five favorite animal for me.
Now I want to ask what the five is, but we have to move on. Okay, so they're at dinner, worried about the bread. Hannah and Sid are talking. They're like, she's perfect. We can get her points. We can mm-hmm. use her airline stuff. And I do think that even if you don't love the person that a friend of yours is dating, using them for whatever benefits they have.
Not bad.
I kind of like it.
If they can get free tickets to places.
Yep.
If they can.
If they have a boat or like their parents have like a house.
A person that has a beach house.
Yeah.
Or a family lake house.
Oh
my gosh. That is the dream.
I would get married tomorrow to someone who has like a family lake house that we can use anytime. Like truly, yes, I wouldn't even need to like know you. You could be
all I want in the world is.
Anyone listening, if you're looking to get married, just, you know.
Okay. He's financially stable.
I just want the lake house. Truly, I want the lake house.
He's musically talented, very funny and creative, and he really wants a lake house.
I really want the lake house. Like, that is the dream. I have, oh my God. Okay. then Charlie arrives. Charlie is wearing a full suit. Wildly overdressed. Sarah, I hope to never wear a suit again in my life. Like truly that.
Oh, really?
I used to in college, I had to wear suits like 3 days a week. Business school. We were like had to do presentations and all
really
kinds of stuff like that.
You really had to get dressed up for business school.
Every time there was an interview or anything, like it was literally like three, sometimes four times a week, I'd have to get in a suit.
Be wearing a suit again for big events. Like,
do I have to?
A friend's wedding or
are you sure I can't come in like shorts and a t-shirt? Like I would love to just
say it depends on your friend.
It would be like a nice like an I Heart Sarah t-shirt. Like would that be okay?
Saying my wedding. I'm thinking Andrew's wedding.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Someone else's.
I mean, if you want to come to my wedding dressed how you want to dress, okay.
Okay, that's officially said on a podcast. I just want that to be known when we get, you know, when we get to that point. Okay, that's been officially said. Cool. What's that look, Sarah? What are you taking a bag now? Is it?
No, I mean, like I said it. It's fine.
I'll make you a deal.
Okay.
I also bring a flamingo.
Oh, well, then you can wear whatever you want.
You can wear whatever I want. Okay. Yeah. I Heart Sarah. And the heart is like in the shape of like two flamingos. Like,
I love that.
Yeah, like Romeo and Juliet type situation.
Oh, I love that.
Okay. We're back at the.
Where are we?
I don't know. We're back at the terrible dinner. Warren says the photo spoke to them on a deep level because it featured Jesse. You are the perfect example of the American male.
Okay. So remember when we were like, who's the perfect Chris? What's the best Chris?
Oh, no.
In his mind, it's this Chris.
Okay. I don't want to be associated with that, with those people.
Oh, so then I think that you should come on the Chris Hemsworth
train. No, I can't because Crystal is just too hot. I mean, like, okay. I I don't know if he's like the perfect example of the American male. I don't know why American had to be thrown in there too. Like, it's just all bad. And it's very, very funny. They like, Jesse and Sophie like kind of turn to each other and start whispering, they don't want to eat us. They were so worried about that. They want to bang us.
Oh my gosh. Who could have thought?
Crazy. Jesse's like, us? And Sophie's like, you. So Sophie's upset. They don't want to bang her. They just want Jesse. Okay. Then we're back at the other terrible dinner. None of these dinners are great. Okay. It's Ellen, Valentina, and then I have in my notes here, what's her face? Because I could not remember her name and they never said it throughout
Rachel.
The dinner.
Rachel.
It's Rachel. I know I'm not now because we talked about it in the first episode. But yeah. I just want it to be known that is like how little I am interested.
You're interested. In your mind, Rachel is like Valentina's date, yeah, Rando.
Absolutely.
Who but shows with like up a right bow now? On her head.
Yes. A small little bow on her head. And then Valentina's date, Rando, does show up. And I will say, I loved this so much. Having her date just be like a guy and then replacing the face with like different emojis, yes, throughout the, yes, dinner. This like felt so How I Met Your Mother to me.
Me too.
In ways that like, I don't even know that I'm like going to be great at explaining, but this is like the epitome of the show. It's like, just it's like blah, blah. And yeah, it's like other types of things that are from How I Met Your Mother, but like in a modern sense, because they couldn't do this kind of stuff with How I Met Your Mother, but yeah, like they can with this. And I just loved it so much.
I agree. I totally agree. I thought that this bit really worked well and I liked it so much because it did remind me of what I loved about How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
And especially watching Rando throughout the episode,
yes,
making different faces and reactions. It was just really, really fun to watch this character.
Yeah.
It's just really funny. I really enjoyed it. This dinner starts off really rough. From
not
the
good. Yeah, it's really not good.
She talks about... Valentina starts talking about astrology. Apparently she's an Aries, which... As a person that does follow astrology, that does not surprise me. I do feel like she's a good example of an Aries because she's a leader. She's somebody that has no problem, like, you know, taking initiative. I think that she is somebody who is a little bit of a firecracker, someone that's bold. These are all qualities of an Aries. And Rachel does not like astrology because she is more scientific. She believes in psychology. And they're just like have fundamental differences. Now, I will say, when I went to my astrologer, she said that psychology and astrology go hand in hand together and they work really well together. So I think that these two could have made it work, but they just like have, fundamental differences.
Yeah, I mean, this is like a very big issue right off the bat at the beginning of this dinner. There was also some talk from Valentina about a birth chart by Madame Deborah, who gets mentioned quite a bit. Certainly I'm like not the person here to be giving any kind of like advice or guidance based on astrology or really even based on psychology. I can tell you what my therapist tells me, but that's about it in terms of anything along those lines. That being said, the one thing I will say here, if you are getting like significant life advice from someone named Madame Deborah, maybe that's not it. That's, I don't know, like live your life, do what you want to do, follow whatever you want to follow, unless maybe it's Madame Deborah. And then I don't know
how legitimate Madame Deborah sounds, but I do believe in my astrologer, Nadine Jane Astrology.
Does she go by like Madame Jane though?
No, she's just
the Madame that like really
that really throws you off. It gives you like Miss Chloe vibes.
Yeah, like unless you're French or like a queen or a hypothetical president in a show that has a woman president, I like don't think that we should be utilizing that Madame word for that kind of, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's where the problem, if you like have the audacity to put Madam in front of your own thing and like call it, I don't know, that to me is the issue.
What about if you're actually French?
Then it's fine. Yeah, I was gonna say that's like if you're French, so, or you know, if you're addressing someone who is French, also fine. Or if you're talking to your French teacher who you always call Madame. Anyway, okay, we're back at the other terrible dinner. All these dinners are just terrible. Sophie is begging for Jesse to say, and they're offered a tour. They want, before dinner, a tour of the house. Wyatt, first of all, this is not a pre-dinner activity. No one needs to have a tour of the house.
I love a tour.
No. I just want to see the dining room. Give me the food, and then I'm going to leave. That's it. That's like all that's going
to
happen.
No, if I came over to anybody's house, the first thing I would want to do is see the tour.
I hate that. Truly, I have no desire to give anyone a tour of any establishment that I'm living in. I will happily give you food and like whatever, the rooms that are public you can see. We don't need to do a tour, though.
But Adam, there might be interesting things in there.
There's not. I promise you.
I want to see everything.
No, there's nothing interesting in my apartment. It's so small. Anyway, they're giving the tour. It's so awkward. It's like Sophie's like, okay, I'm going to ask some questions and maybe we can find some more place to put art. And it's like, no, you can't talk, Sophie. But Jesse, you can say anything.
Ooh.
Anything.
Ooh.
Gross.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
We cut back to another bad dinner. Alice is listing off the entire Monopoly board.
I do think that this is an interesting party trick.
Could you do it? Okay, wait. How far on the Monopoly board could we get?
No, okay. I can. Okay, I probably can name every piece on the Monopoly board, but not in order.
I think okay, let's see how far we can get in order.
Well, can we... in go ahead. Order?
So we'll start with go. You should pass go.
Okay, I can say go.
Go.
Baltimore?
I think the first one is Mediterranean. Okay. Mediterranean. And then is it a community chest or something there? Maybe I think there's a community chest clue. Second.
This is
There's Baltic Avenue. That's probably the one you're thinking of.
Oh, look at me. I'm so smart.
Then there's the taxes one.
Sure.
Then the railroad. One of the railroads, Reading probably. Oh my God. This is really good. Okay. Then I think it's Continental. This is the light blue. And then what's the next one? Vermont? I don't know.
How do you know this?
Admittedly, I played a good amount of Monopoly. Then Chance. Then another one of the light blue. And then Jail.
Vermont and Connecticut. And then Jail.
Yeah. And then I know we get to the light pinks. And I don't know what they are. Virginia is one of them.
Yeah.
St. Charles is one of them. Is another one, though. I don't know. St. James?
Avenue.
Oh, no. Wait, that's... I don't know.
St. Charles. Electric. You're forgetting Electric.
Yeah. It gets really dicey after that point, but...
Maybe you would be better going the reverse order.
Okay. Boardwalk?
Yeah.
Then, I don't know what's next.
Is luxury tax.
Oh, it's a luxury tax. Okay. Then we have Park Place.
Yeah.
Then, is it a Chance? Yeah. Then there's a railroad again. I don't know which one. Then we have the Greens.
Correct.
I don't know what they are, though. Let's see.
Name any green. You're trash at this. You know what? I mean, Alice would be appalled.
Yeah, she would. I could definitely do the colors all in order, but all the specific names are so tough.
I mean, do you have a party trick? Like, anything like this? It's not this. It's not Monopoly. I don't think.
No, it's certainly not Monopoly. Usually my go-to party trick is like if there happens to be a piano there, I will always get pressured into playing something on the piano.
Yeah.
Or like singing. Those are always the two things that are like if there's ever something there, that will certainly be what comes up.
Those are great party tricks.
Yeah, they're okay. And then depending on like where the thing is, ping pong could also be the other thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I'm talentless, but that's okay.
Hardly, Sarah, hardly.
I think I've told this story elsewhere, but I did memorize the back of a body wash bottle about 15 years ago, and I still have it memorized.
What body wash?
Caress.
Oh, that's a weird name.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Well, at some point.
Hold your senses and soften your skin with Caress moisturizing body wash. And I can go on, but we got shiz to do.
Okay. They're talking about the Monopoly board that says that they've been sucking down banana daiquiris.
Ooh, yummy.
Does sound delicious. I'm all in on a banana daiquiri. We should have banana daiquiris in Seattle. Okay.
We will. We're indulging.
We are. We're going like all out.
Our senses.
Yeah. We're caressing. in the banana daiquiris. It's all getting bad. Then they're like, we have to go to the bathroom. And then, oh my God, Alice is so uncomfortable. I hope we get Saul's right next to
That was creepy. That was really creepy. Whenever I go to the restroom, I like go to the stall as farthest around from anybody. Yeah.
There has to be a, we're talking about buffers. There has to be a buffer zone.
Yeah.
In the stalls for sure.
Five stalls in between.
Five stalls.
All stalls.
It's so weird. And you know, Sid is like trying to reassure Charlie, like, yeah, see something great in Alice. Okay, whatever. We go back to the other bad dinner. Warren shows the photo and explains that he is a meninist, that men are under attack. His line is, there's a war against men. Woof, Sarah. Mm-hmm. This is so disgusting.
There's an actual podcast that are
I've heard
not on like PSR platform, but on other podcasts that I've listened to, them advertise it, and it sounds like so abstract, and you're just like, is this a prank? But it's not.
Yeah, we don't need to like get too political here. I think we'll just keep the same level of politics that the show keeps with. This is like gross, and I feel like you just have to block out so much common sense and any amount of intelligence to believe the things that he's talking about. And I think that the show like does a pretty good job of like conveying that this is just like gross and disgusting and very problematic, right? Like I don't know that the show like went ridiculously far here. I think that like they presented us with a thing that is awful and made it clear that it was awful. So
right.
Anyway, dinner with Valentina and Ellen not going well. They're just totally, you know, at each other, going back and forth. It's really bad.
Well, they're fighting. It's like super inappropriate and terrible.
Yeah, and the line of like Team Science with your girlfriend or Team Star Magic with your roommate and her street magic, Madam Deborah. It's like all bad. It's just brutal. Poor Rando, who's also there. Like, what a terrible day.
Yeah, Rando is definitely having the worst day ever. But I do think that at the end, he does get, a little bit of a bonus.
A little bit, yeah. And they were able to come to an agreement. Not really an agreement. They were able to commiserate together on one thing. And that is Ellen being unable to make decisions and being unable to pick for anything.
Yeah, and then they do like this like really nasty thing that I really hated, where they just go back and forth and talk about things that they hate about Ellen.
Yeah,
which I hated, and I was like, you know what, Rachel,
she's gone. Like right there.
I think that Valentina was trash for doing this to poor Ellen too. It's not nice, but like Ellen is so desperate, which is the reoccurring.
Yeah.
Word that she flames these fires just because that means that these two people in her life are not fighting with each other. And she's like, say more bad things about me, more bad things. It's terrible. Yeah. She doesn't have a lot of good self-esteem. I feel really bad.
Yeah, not a lot of good self-esteem, but like this is how she's like trying to fit in and find happiness. It's all bad. I really am like not relating to Ellen as a character, and I'm struggling to like, I think she's struggling to find her spot in the show. But we'll see kind of how that goes forward here. Jesse and Sophie are now Googling Warren, and the video that they come up with is a Warren talking about how women can't go to space because their periods, and the segment ends with is wiping your butt gay. Those are the things that Warren is talking about. Yikes. Even Jesse's like, well, that explains the smell. Also disgusting, just terrible. That's so gross. Sophie says they have two options, Sarah. There are two options on what to do here. Number one, only two options. Number one, start a podcast.
Look, any two dummies can start a podcast, yeah, exactly. To be honest with you.
You don't have
to be talented nor smart.
No.
All you need is $200 to buy yourself a mic. Sometimes even less than that.
Most of the time, even less than that. Absolutely. So that's option number one. They talk about the podcast. And also it would be not just a like, you know, renunciation of everything that Warren is saying, but it would also talk about celebrity hairstyles.
Okay, you know what? I'm in on this.
Should we like add that segment?
I do think so, because you know what? I've heard so many conspiracy theories that most celebrities, if not all, wear wigs.
All celebrities?
Yes, exactly. Which is what Sophie was saying here. She basically started naming celebrities and they all have wigs.
Wow.
Every celebrity has wigs or a hairpiece of some kind.
I guess if I had like that kind of money, no, I wouldn't, because like I don't really care about my hair. It's like fine. I just have.
No, you gotta care about your hair.
I don't. Is it obvious that like I never style my hair? It just kind of like is.
No, I compliment you on your hair all the time.
I don't think you've ever done that, but I did not that in a way that like I'm upset about. But like
I did it once when you got a haircut.
I did get a haircut. Yeah, I prefer it shorter, but also haircuts are more expensive than they should be, and so I, you know, if I
how much
just...
are you paying for a haircut?
I mean, it's like what, like $20 a haircut, and then I'll tip.
I can't because that's nothing. That's pennies.
It's more than I would like to be spent. Well, but then like you include the tip, and it's like a whole thing. I don't know.
I spend a good amount of money on haircuts.
You should put that on the credit card. Okay. Anyway. I don't even know where we are at this. Oh, option number two. We already talked about the first option. Option number two, grab the penny and give me the F out. That's a better option.
That's a pretty good option.
That's much better. Okay.
Yeah, this kind of reminded me of stealing the blue French horn.
Yeah, a little bit. For sure. I think that was kind of the vibe they were going for too, right? Especially like with the two of them. Okay, we're back to dinner with Alice. They return from the bathroom. Alice has a reusable toilet seat cover.
Okay. I was totally in on... Oh, Alice brought her own toilet seat covers. I was like, okay, yes, they come in packets. I've seen them. A lot of the times, bathrooms don't have toilet seat covers. And then she said it was reusable. And I said, no, she lost me again. Yeah, no.
Not the word I'd like to be seeing there whatsoever. Alice says that she likes dancing and does like kind of a little awkward dance.
I thought it was a good jig.
Okay. Listen, if I can dance better than a dance that's being out there, that is a problem. Like, that should not
I mean, like, Sophie doesn't have a lot of rhythm.
Yeah. There's not a lot going out here. And Charlie is just like, yeah, okay, I'm done. Like, I can't keep pretending to do this. Which, like, I am so happy for Charlie that he said this. He was like, you know, even if he's – first of all, he says he's, like, he's not really ready to date now, which I – very much respect just in the first place, but then he like does pile on with some like pretty significant honesty, kind of brutal honesty. Even if I were ready, wouldn't be with you. Not what you want to hear.
No, it's a little harsh, but I don't think that Alice really cared, because she kind of saw through everybody. She knew that Sid was after her Miles. She kind of knew that Charlie wasn't into her. And she said, you know what? It's still the best day ever, because I met my new best friend, Hannah. Bathroom here's for life.
That might be the worst like moniker for two people. Like, I honestly cannot think of a worse thing to have. Like,
and I gotta say, I think bathroom bros works better.
It would have been right. Well, I guess it works better, but I'm not interested in a bathroom bro. Like, unless they have a lake house, that's really the only situation where I'd be willing to be bathroom bros. Okay, we're back with Warren. Sophie starts, Warren, who's like, you know, spewing all of this misogynistic stuff. Warren is just like being very blatant at this point, you know, talking about, you know, having Sophie on. Sophie's trying to distract him while Jesse is stealing the painting. She says a lot of stuff that's pretty gross. Warren is like, oh, yeah, you get it. You know what's going on. And then he's like, you should come on the podcast. Unfortunately, all of the female guests have to wear bikinis. And then we learn this fact about Megan, who used to be the mayor of Baltimore.
Wow.
And that's it. That's Sophie has had it with this whole situation. She's done with them. This was the tipping point. You were mayor and now you plate raw meat for this little bee. Jesse is struggling to get the picture back. And then they see what's going on. They get all upset at her. They turn around and to think we almost had sex with you, which is really, really funny. Yeah, she's just had it. And I do like this moment of her standing up for herself, because I feel like she's just kind of been pushed over quite a bit throughout this episode, and a little demeaning to like have this all boiled down to like she needs the cash. And so, you know, glad that we, you know, kind of got past that.
It is unfortunate that I suppose the deal fell through. But honestly, like, do you really want this person to own your work anyway?
No, not really. Okay, and then we end the episode back in the apartment with Valentina and Sophie. They're, you know, kind of talking about their days, what had happened, all the situations, and then we see Valentina talking like, you know, I feel like I'm gonna end up with Charlie. Like, that's the kind of what she's talking about, like, you know, we're endgame, stuff like that. We also see Charlie in the bar that he's working at, look over, kind of surveying the scene. We had seen earlier in the episode he's not really ready to date, but then he sees someone at the edge of the bar, walks up and says hi. As of course Valentina's like, you know, we're meant to be, we're endgame. And then of course, you know, we end the episode with Rando coming back out with an emoji over his face and an eggplant over his, you know what.
Yeah. So, and a peach on his
and behind. A peach on his booty, yeah. As he kind of talks around.
And also we get a nice Jesse and Sophie moment where they realize that they can be friends and they hit the reset button. So I really liked how it ended. I liked how everything was like kind of wrapped up in a nice bow. The way that it ended with Charlie was very reminiscent of a How I Met Your Mother end of episode.
Yes.
With like the setup for what's to come and saying that Charlie might have found his own reset in that moment. I really liked that. And then with the swelling music as well, they really get you in the feels, yep. Which I really like. So I thought that it was a really good episode. There's problems. Like, there's definitely these episodes definitely have their like little, they're a little rough around the edges, you know, they're a little corny at times. It's a little cringy at times. I still think that the show has definite steps that I would like them to improve upon. But I'm hopeful. I like the bare bones of it.
Yeah. And I think that like to that point, this isn't a perfect show. Like, I don't think either of us are like here saying this is a perfect show. Neither was How I Met Your Mother though. Right. Like there were plenty of episodes that had like these rough edges that we're talking about where maybe not as clean as we would like them to be. We're not going through those episodes like with a fine tooth comb like we are with these right now. So I think it's like very easy to be like, oh, that, you know, early show was great and this one's not as good. But I like it. I'm enjoying it so far. I think it's like a fun watch. I think it's been a fun season so far. I'm glad that we get a lot more of it and, you know, a lot more to go on than just kind of a shortened season. So that's episodes 2 and 3, Sarah. That's all we have here today. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, I am really excited to watch the next 2 episodes. I think now's a good time to mention that, you know, we've been alluding to the Seattle trip for a couple weeks. Next time we record, we will be together Seattle. So the vibes are going to be blasting off.
Yes.
So much fun. I'm really excited about that, to cover episodes 4 and 5. I'm excited to see the continuation. We're just like at the very tip of the iceberg. There's so much more to uncover left of the season. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Okay, if people want more Sarah Ferguson in their lives, where can they find you? What are you doing these days?
I'm over here at PSR. Hopefully another project comes my way soon. I'm like thinking that I might have something in March. Oh. To be determined. Over at Shit 90 Shows, Tommy, we're going to cover Speed for bonus content. We got Dawson's Creek. Adam, you joined Jess and I last week on a Dawson's Creek episode. We had a great time, lots of laughs, and somebody commented and said, this podcast was NSFW times a million. So that's that. How about you, Adam?
Yeah, so go check that out. That was very, very fun. I can attest that is an accurate representation of what happened. Myself, Todd, and Lindy over on One of the Scrubba Podcast are talking through Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. So we are a couple episodes into that. Come check out our most recent episode, which featured the incredible Melissa Woodward. Which is very, very exciting. So we loved having her on there. Over on the PSR patron feed, you can find me talking about Doctor Who with Kevin Mahadeo and Melissa Woodward as well. We just did Blink, potentially one of the best episodes of the entire series, so go check that out. But then other than that, you can find us both back here in a couple weeks where we will be together in person. We're recording a podcast. I'm so excited for this. We'll be in Seattle together. We'll probably be watching the episodes together as well as they come out. Probably. This will be so fun. And we might give an update on the movie that I need to see apparently as well. So we'll be talking all of that and more in just a couple of weeks as we cover the following 2 episodes. But until then, bye.